Hi, this is John Bartlett, co-host of the Shofar Ministries Hour, and I want to tell you about Mullet Masonry. Working with either brick, block, or stone, their work is impeccable, earning them a great reputation. They service residential, like chimneys and restorations, as well as the bigger commercial-type jobs. They're located in Geauga County, but will service any of the surrounding areas. They're experienced, they do great work, they're affordable, and they're very nice as well. Need a free estimate? Call Chad Mullet at 216-570-0177. That's 570-0177. Give them a try next time you need any facet of masonry work. After all, Mullet Masonry helps to keep Shofar Ministries on the air. So be sure to tell Chad you heard about him right here on WHKW Christian Radio. Welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and Shabbat Shalom to all of you who are listening live, as well as on the World Wide Web, WHKWradio.com. My name is John Bartlett, your co-host today with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford, who loves to share with you the biblical gold nuggets, especially about the end times. A reminder, you can re-listen to this show later this week on shofarministries.net. Before we get started, let's ask God for his blessing on this program, as well as to all the listeners who have set aside their current undertakings to learn from the Word of God. Father God, thank you for your Word and for your Shabbat. We invite your Holy Spirit that teaches us and leads us into all truth. Your Word is truth. Thank you for answering our prayers and the prayers of all those who write and call in with their requests. And we bless you in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, John, and Shabbat Shalom to you too, and Baruch Atah Hashem Adonai, which means blessed be the name of the Lord. For the last month now, we have been debunking the critics of a pre-trib rapture, and hope that you have enough good information out there to use for your reproof and correction. You need to especially know and understand, actually like the back of your hand, Matthew 24:31. Go over it often. Also, you can listen to the past programs on my webpage and be ready to be used in that area, because Matthew 24:31 is really the number one scripture that they all use.
Oh, yeah.
And they just misinterpret it. So, and we went over that in detail a few times, actually.
Yes, we did.
Yes, we did. I want to thank those that came out to Chesterlin this past Wednesday, by the way, at Chester Christian Center. We had a full house, a good group, with some really good questions, and we were all blessed with God's anointing.
I'm sorry I missed that one. And if you would like Sheila to come out to your church or group, give her a call, 440-834-9006.
You know what? There is one more point that John brought up a few weeks ago that we want to talk about as far as the debunking the critics of the pre-trib rapture.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a verse that Messianic critics like to refer to that we need to address it. And, of course, Messianics, we use that term as Jewish believers in the Lord. So we want to address it. Because it's used by them who think, for some reason, that we should not be here, or we should be here for the tribulation period.
Tribulation, because that's when the Jews will need the help.
I know. If we leave, we're going to abandon them.
We're abandoning them. So they say they take it as almost an anti-Semitic approach. But there are Jews that are saved, and lots more of them than there ever were.
Yes, yes. And what is that? That is a picture of what's going to happen soon.
Yes.
We're actually seeing foregoing pictures of what's going to be like during the tribulation period now. Okay,
yes.
We're seeing Jews coming to the Lord, but all of them will come to the Lord during the tribulation period. We're seeing all the signs that actually are going to begin in the beginning of the tribulation period, the six seals of Matthew and also Matthew 24. We're seeing those things already starting. And it's going to get a lot worse, of course, during the tribulation. But we are slowly moving up to that.
Yes, we are. Before we get started, what's in the news that fits into the prophetic scenario that we should talk about today, Sheila?
Oh, well, besides all the crazy stuff that continues to occur, you know, like earthquakes, volcanoes, tornadoes, floods.
Oil spills.
Oil spills. We're losing our pollinating bees, which is going to really be a big part of the famine that's coming. Economic woes, more pestilence, more diseases, war on terrorism, certainly many rumors of wars, like the headlines in Debka News last week that Israel's enemies are gearing up for a probable war this year.
This year. Wow.
And we know that Syria continues to give, like, Scud missiles to Hezbollah, which is in Lebanon.
Yes.
They're getting lots.
Which is right near the border of Israel's northern border, correct?
Yes, it's right up there.
Okay.
Right there.
And,
so things are happening, and in fact, next week we're going to be examining some scriptures that look like maybe there could be a war before the tribulation, before the war of Gog and Magog, and we're going to discuss that next week. So don't miss next week for sure.
Not the war of wars, but a war that will certainly have some serious consequences.
Yeah, yep. For sure.
Yep.
But it might be good.
Yes.
Actually. So anyway, I also want to mention too that finally our President Obama, and I'm sure it's because he's been under a lot of pressure for his snubbing of Netanyahu when he was here, but he does say that, don't worry, we support Israel's right to secure borders. So that's what he's saying openly.
Mm-hmm.
But I also see where there have been many meetings occurring between our administration and Egypt, who apparently they are working on some kind of a peace deal for Israel. Now, I want to also mention this, and it's just I'm mentioning it. I don't know if you all out there know who Avi Lipkin is. He is a Jewish man who is still Jewish, but he is in a lot of the Christian circles. In fact, he talks a lot about what's going on in Israel and things that, you know, a Jewish believer would be talking about. But he loves the Christians. And
yes.
He appears on a lot of Christian shows. He was on TBN and JR Church not too long ago. But he happened to mention that his wife, who speaks fluent Arabic, was actually listening to Arabic television when she was in Israel between our administration, I believe it was Obama, with the Egyptian Prime Minister and Mubarak. And they were talking in Arabic. It was not translated in English at all.
Okay.
But apparently she insists that she heard him say to them, assuring them that he was a Muslim and, in fact, a Sunni.
That Obama was saying this to them?
Wow. Now, that's all I know, and, you know, take that with a grain of salt, I guess, but I respect him, and, you know, what do you think?
I don't know what to think. I know we got to respect our president. We should respect and pray for all of our leaders.
Oh, and we do, don't we?
Yes.
Yes.
We had a National Day of Prayer just the 5th when we met.
But my top prayer is that God's will be done. And
yes.
Whatever has to happen, then that's okay with me. Because God's will is first.
That's right. Well, let me remind you, later this hour, we'll open the lines for your end time question. Or you can just email Sheila, and she will answer it on next week's program. You can email her at sheila@shofarministries.net. Sheila spelled S-H-E-I-L-A. And check out the calendar webpage, where our events are posted, or you can call Sheila as well and leave a detailed message, and she'll be sure to get back to you.
Yes, and I've been getting a few phone calls, and it's really nice to know that there really are people that are interested, listening. I know I had one person say that they look forward to Saturday at 1 o'clock and wouldn't miss it.
Yes.
That's nice.
Didn't we have one caller say that he didn't like the call-in part because it took up time away from
teaching.
The teaching part?
That's true. So if you do call in, let's keep it to one question.
Yeah, we've got to do that. Okay.
But let's get into today's program. As we said at the beginning, there is still something else that I want to cover about the pre-trib rapture. It's a particular verse, and this verse is used by Jewish believers who, as I see it, like saved Gentiles, are not that learned in their first century roots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they know what their fathers and their grandfathers teach them, but it's just not the same because, well the temple was destroyed,
right.
Okay, so they had to invent new ways to cover their sins. And then the Dark Ages came along, and books were burned and Bibles, too. In fact, we have helped a few Jewish believers at Shofar learn their roots as well, and they're very grateful about it. Now, we've already discussed a lot on previous shows, but most of the problem stems from not differentiating properly between the catching up of the bride, which is what I believe is called the rapture.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it might not necessarily be called the rapture in the Bible unless you read the Latin version, which
mm-hmm.
it is. But it's described as the catching up of the bride. Okay? You know, it's interesting, John, that even the word resurrection isn't mentioned at all in the Old Testament. Not once.
Not once.
The word is not there.
Hmm.
But we know there is one because it's described.
Yes.
And that's how Jewish people do. They describe things. And the Jewish writers of the Bible are very just like that. They describe situations. They're picture tellers,
uh-huh.
storytellers, and things like that. So they're not differentiating between the catching up of the bride and the second coming of Christ with us, by the way,
mm-hmm.
back to earth after 7 years. And we also talked about how it was indeed taught in the early centuries. But it was revived in the 19th century during a revival by God through a dream / vision. Not sure exactly how that was, but he says, you know what? It's time to get it back because
mm-hmm.
we lost it. And then, of course, we also explain the different groups of the elect as well as the idiom for the term the last trump and how it's not the seventh trump of Revelation. And last week we explained the different phases of the first resurrection. So we've covered a lot of information the last 4 weeks.
And let me suggest to the listeners, if you missed any previous programs, just go to our website, shofarministries.net, to get those detailed teachings.
Yes, please do. And we thank Lou for doing that for us so that people can go and listen to it. And it's free. Lots of teaching there, and it's free.
Free. Yes.
However, if you feel moved, we certainly welcome all donations to help keep this show on the air. So, before we read the passage, it's actually in John 17, let's set the stage in context, because context is the main reason why people get things wrong. You have
mm-hmm.
to know the context.
Right.
But we have a prayer of Jesus to his Father, very moving, showing much love for those the Father has given him. John, I'm going to say, why don't you read verse 15 of John 17 now? And then I'll continue to explain it.
Alrighty. I thought I had that one flagged, but apparently I didn't. Verse 15 says, and again, this is Jesus' last, I think, night on earth. Was it not?
It's close to it, yes.
Yes.
Before Gethsemane.
Yes, before Gethsemane. Verse 15, I don't ask you, he's talking to his Father, God in heaven, I don't ask you to belong to the world. Just as I myself do not belong to the world, I don't ask, oh, I'm sorry, I read that wrong. Let me back up. I don't ask you to take them out of the world, but to protect them from the evil one.
Right. And so they
yes.
take that out of context and they say, see, right here, Jesus is saying, don't take them out.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's obvious. And if you read further, he also says, I pray not only for these in verse 20, but also for those who will trust in me because of their word.
Sure.
And I think they use that, but I think on verse 20, Jesus is going into talking about a second group of people here and not to the disciples.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? Even
Don't
if he was talking to us,
yeah,
that meant then.
Yes.
You know, not 2,000 years later.
Right.
But anyway, he's really talking about the disciples. And we know that because beginning in verse 8, we see him praying for his disciples, and in verse 12, he says how he hasn't lost any of his disciples except the son of perdition, which was Judas,
mm-hmm.
but that was to fulfill Scripture.
Right.
So then in verse 15, he says he doesn't expect or want God to remove them, just keep them from the evil one. Now, they were all martyred, except yes. John.
Okay.
And, of course, we know why John wasn't martyred. It was also a picture, a typology.
Mm-hmm.
John represents
the church.
The church.
Yeah.
And we're not going to be going through the tribulation, and I think that's why he wasn't martyred. Okay, again, that's whether you want to believe that or not, that's up to you, but I just thought it was a great picture.
Yes, it is.
And it's also interesting because John in his gospel never talks about demons. Why? Because we have power over them. And never talks about the tribulation at all
mm-hmm.
because we're not going to be in it.
So that's interesting, too. It's another picture.
It is. So he says he doesn't expect or want God to remove the disciples, just keep them from the evil one. And that we really are kept from the evil one.
Yes.
We really are. We have power over it. We can have a lot more power if we spend more time in the Word, you know, where when we rebuke, they have to leave. But we do have that power. And the evil one cannot kill us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The reason that the disciples were martyred was because it was their choice to do it for the glory of God. They could have renounced God and lived,
mm-hmm.
you know. But they were all martyred, again, except John. But that was for God's glory. And, in fact, we have a confirmation that martyrdom is for God's glory. And that's John 21, verse 19. And I think we should read that.
It reads... Jesus was talking to Peter, and he says, but when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. And he said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would bring glory to God.
That's right, and we know that Peter was martyred also, and that just describes it.
Yes.
So again, that's to glorify God. John, why is it to glorify God? How does that glorify God when somebody is martyred for him?
Well, it shows, for one thing, that they believe more in the power of resurrection than they do in the power of death.
Absolutely, and that they believe what they're doing is truth.
Yes.
You know? I mean, if you're going to die for something,
yes.
it's because you believe it.
That's right.
You know, so that glorifies God. Now,
ooh.
Point. Here's the point. Suffering afflictions, as we said, is for the glory of God. But it is different to be judged under the wrath of God, for that judgment is on unbelievers. Jesus took that judgment for sin, especially of unbelief, to the cross. All we have to do to miss that judgment is to believe that he did take it to the cross. But we must believe that he did. And there's unbelievers out there that just refuse to believe that he did that. And that's so sad. Because it would be so easy to escape this judgment that's coming on the world.
Yes.
For that reason.
Well, and then I think we mentioned that there are those that also believe that the tribulation had already occurred and we're still in the process of cleaning up the world or making the world ready for the Messiah to come back. And
who was the Antichrist? I suppose there was quite a few of them if you want to read... use typology.
Yes. Well, yes, yes.
But here's the point, John, yeah. And this is what I think for the last 4 weeks we've been covering.
Mm-hmm.
The people are using things out of context.
Yes.
They're not looking at
the whole counsel of God,
which Acts says you really must do, and instead you pull it out and then you build on it.
That's right.
And that's what gets you into trouble. And this John 17, 14, and 15 is no different. The same type of thing. Read the whole thing. See what he's talking about. Before you say, see, we're not going to be here.
That's right. So the questions I and many ask is, why are so many messianics against the pre-trib rapture?
Well, and I think we've covered that.
We've covered that.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just anti-Semitic, they say, to leave them alone.
No, leave them alone.
You know, they are reading scripture as they think it should mean.
Instead of the whole picture.
Yeah. And what does Proverbs 14:12 say? Do you have that? I told you to have
you told
that
me
ready
to flag
because...
that one. Let's see why. Proverbs 14:12 says there can be a way, or there is a way, which seems right. Seems right to a person.
But we need scripture. We need God's way, not man's way.
That's right.
But anyway, us leaving isn't going to cause the Jews any difference or any more harm because... God saves and fills 144,000 Jewish people to witness. 144,000, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
That's like 144,000 Pauls running around Israel.
So then, you know, all of Israel will be saved, like the prophecy says.
Because we have the whole counsel of God.
There you go.
And in fact, it says in Hosea, in their affliction, they will seek me. This is Jacob's affliction that's coming.
Yes.
Jacob's trouble.
Jacob's trouble, yes.
Right. Not the bride's trouble.
Not the bride's trouble.
Because
right.
Why? We believe what he did on the cross.
That's okay.
Yeah. Now, here's another thing. If we were still here and the 144,000 get saved.
Yes.
Why, in Revelation 14, are they called the first fruits to God and to the Lamb? Why would they be called the first fruits if we were still here?
Oh.
They couldn't be.
They couldn't be.
Because that would be saying that they were first to get saved. Well, we're already saved.
Yeah, aren't we as a church already referred to as the first fruits?
We are. It's like the elect.
It's like the elect. And,
yes.
And so there's going to be another elect, and this is going to be the 144,000.
Right. And that's why he calls them the first fruits, because it's during that age.
Okay.
That in that day, 1,000-year time period.
And that's why that is?
Yeah, we've talked about that, in that day thing.
It's in that day.
Quite a bit. So we're going to have to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about why there has to be a rapture.
Has
to be for the tribulation to begin.
Wow.
Okay, so we'll see that when we come back. Stay with us.
Yes, those lines will be open when we come back if you have a question, particularly on the end times. Or any kind of eschatological question, just call 216-901-0933 or 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. Now, since we cover such a big area on the radio, both of us would like to visit you at your church for an evening of messianic worship and a timely message. So tell your pastor and ask him to give us a call, 440-834-9006. And I want to remind you one more time that Shofar Ministries is a non-denominational 501c3, and all your gifts are tax-deductible, and donations are really, really needed to stay on the air. So really, folks, if you like this forum with solid Bible teaching, please send your donations to P.O. Box 513 in Burton, 44021, or you may give through the shofarministries.net site and use PayPal. And you can purchase as well teaching DVDs, especially on the spring feasts, for a donation of only $15.
Well, we do need your help out there. Perhaps you'd like to help sponsor the show, either by advertising or just giving donation. That's fine. Maybe you could talk to your company, especially if you know any Christian companies. Or maybe you could refer someone else, and we would sure appreciate it. And again, you can just reach me for details by calling me at 440-834-9006.
Okay, and we love hearing from you. Those numbers for your end time questions, 216-901-0933 or 888-677-WORD. And stay with us now. You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour. We'll be right back after a short break and a great song by yours truly, called Sparrow, and hope you enjoy.
And play it again.
Play it again.
So we're going to.
Okay.
Okay, but let me ask you, how many times have you ever been asked if you knew a good Christian attorney? Well, now you have an answer. A legal representative for over 35 years, Dennis Kastelek of Chardon, Ohio, has a great reputation for honesty and integrity and is now a sponsor of the Shofar Ministries Hour. So if you still need to get that will, need financial counseling, or any legal matter, give Dennis a call at 440-285-3511. That's 440-285-3511.
What would you say to an ad telling you that a new car allowed you to be rid of oil changes and tire rotations forever? Most people would be skeptical. After all, not taking these preventive measures could result in expensive repairs or a shorter life. This is Ron Trzynski of the Original Mattress Factory, and I, too, would be skeptical, much like I was when the one-sided mattress was reintroduced nearly 10 years ago, touting the benefit of not having to flip it. Could anyone really take a mattress that is used 6 or 8 hours every night and make it maintenance-free without sacrificing comfort and durability? At the Original Mattress Factory, we still believe strongly in two-sided products, featuring cotton upholstery, heavy-gauge wire, and real working box springs that are built to last. We encourage customers to flip and rotate their beds regularly for increased comfort and durability. So stop in and discover the benefits of a two-sided mattress. The Original Mattress Factory, 4930 State Road, right at the 480 ramp.
WHKW AM 1220 The Word is pleased to feature the Bible Answer Man as our Ministry of the Month. Here's a portion of the conversation Glenn Mertz had with Hank Hanegraaff.
Are you finding that people are having more and more questions and just out there just searching?
I tell you, if there was ever a need for the Bible Answer Man broadcast, it is now, because people are continuously asking questions. And I think part of the reason for that, Glenn, is that there are so many skeptics today who have received an enormous sense of popular acceptance. And as a result of that, they are raising doubts in the minds of Christians with respect to origins, with respect to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and with respect to the veracity of the Scriptures.
The Bible Answer Man is our Ministry of the Month for May. Be sure to listen to the Bible Answer Man weeknights at 6 p.m. on AM 1220 The Word.
Keep me in all of your paths, Lord, and make your ways known to me. Keep me as close as the dew is to the grass, as the sand is to the sea. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. Your word is like a fountain, and it feeds the river of life. It gives grace to all the living, and it gives me joy inside. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I see your face, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. As one of your sheep, Lord, and I'll no longer stray, and I'll feed with the flock in your pasture, and I'll do all that you say. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, O Lord, I won't have to die. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And with a mighty shout and the voice of the angel, straight to you I'll fly. and with a mighty shout and the voice of the angel, straight to you I'll fly.
Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and that song was sung by our own John Bartlett. And I wanted to tell you all that now it's available on our webpage. The song is Alone. You don't have to listen to the whole program.
Oh, and you can download it. You can listen to it.
That's
great. And it's going to help me to help get this song on a CD so that for those of you that don't have the use of a computer can just listen to it on your CD player.
Right. That's right. And maybe you can give it to somebody out there that will give him a record contract. That will help us pay for this radio.
Pay for the radio show. There we go.
Speaking of which, let's talk about one of the sponsors to this program, which helps us a lot. And that, of course, is the Alexandria School for Nannies. Do you love children, John?
Yes, I do. I've got quite a few grandchildren.
Yes, I have 7, and I love little babies. We just have a new baby. It's 2 weeks today. Beautiful.
Yeah, that's right, 2 weeks.
But anyway, I have a friend, and she's a listener of this program, and she's the mother of 5 and grandmother of 3, and she has recently attended the Alexandria School for Nannies, and now she's certified as a newborn care specialist. And she's enjoyed her education so much, she is now enrolled in their accelerated program for nannies. So if you would like to work with children while adding to your family's income, which is really kind of important these days, call Carolyn at 440-781-7351.
7531.
Yes. Did I say that?
Yes.
Oh, good. And, of course, if you are in need of that special person to watch your precious children, the number is the same, 440-781-7531. Again, if you love children and would like to find out more about the opportunities that are waiting for you as a professional nanny, one more time, call Carolyn, 781-7531. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah.
The nanny biz.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
And it requires training.
It does.
Yes, it does.
It does. And the certification is good because they do a great background check. And
people that want their children looked after these days want certification.
Oh, yeah. They want to feel secure.
Yes, they do.
You know.
So it's a great idea and a great business and a great trade, some kind of a trade you can learn.
That's right.
Yes.
Okay, let's talk a little bit now about why there must be a rapture.
There has to be one.
There has to be one. You betcha. Number one sign is that it's going to be a huge sign to those who have heard what was going to happen and then to see it happen is going to bring them to the Lord.
Okay.
Do you agree with that, John?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. And that's what I'm trying to do right now. I'm not trying to – I don't get upset if they don't come to Jesus right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And, like, a lot of times people say, I'm not even witnessing anymore. It doesn't do any good. I've heard that.
Hmm.
But you must not grow weary.
It's hard to witness these days.
It is.
Nobody said they either know it all or they don't want to.
And that's why you've just got to overlook that.
Yes.
And tell people what's going to happen.
Just tell them, simply?
That we're going to disappear. The problem is so many people aren't really sure if we're going to disappear, so they can't tell them that.
Ah.
And that's why I know I get my blood boils pretty much. I want people to understand prophecy because I got saved on it.
Mm-hmm.
When I heard what was going to happen, I thought, whoa, I don't want to miss that. And there's other people that need to hear it also. So in order for them to hear it, we've got to know how to speak it.
Yes.
Okay. So get out there, tell your friends and your family that we're going to go up and be with God because there's a big judgment coming on the earth for the sin of unbelief. And you've got to tell them what's going to happen. Otherwise, when we disappear, they're going to listen to the Antichrist, who's going to tell them all is well, or they're going to listen to the UFO people that are saying, oh, God just removed us and put us on a different planet because we're hindering the earth.
Or maybe you have some kind of conspiracy suspicion that the government or something did away with us.
And
your imagination could go wild. But I think if somebody was telling me that, you know, say I was not saved, I didn't know Jesus, and somebody, one of these crazy Christians was telling me, well, we're all going to disappear in a thing called the rapture, and then the earth is going to be judged.
Right.
And I would say, well, yeah, that's what you believe. And then what you should say, or the Christian person should say, is that, hey, if you don't believe it, it's no problem. But promise me this. Mm-hmm. If it does happen, would you promise me that the first thing you do when you see this happen is get down on your knees and invite the Lord Jesus into your heart?
Right.
And
they all say yes.
And they will say yes.
They all say, oh, yeah, you got that right.
You got
you.
That,
you
I'll do that.
Fear, I'm going to do that. And I believe it'll happen.
Yes, and I believe that's why the tribulation saints are so many they can't be numbered.
I know. I know. There's going to be a lot of them.
A lot of them, yes.
Hello.
Well, what's the other reason?
That's a big wake-up call.
There's another reason why there has to be a tribulation.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I believe that darkness must be at 100%, and we are restraining that right now because we are the light.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and 2 Thessalonians tells us that we are restraining the Antichrist from coming on the scene. Satan will be getting his much more power. I mean, he's got a lot of power now, but he's going to be getting a lot more when it is total spiritual darkness.
Right.
That's going to feed him.
Because right now it seems like those that are saved and the Christian folks are the ones blowing the whistle on this world, on world government stuff and, you know, everything mm-hmm. else. So that once they're out of the way.
Right. Yeah. Just think about this, John. At the moment of the rapture, at that moment, every single righteous person will leave the earth. How dark is that left on the earth? That is total spiritual darkness.
Sort of like that darkness that occurred at the hour. In the third, was it the ninth hour on the cross?
I know. It was total darkness because he
Jesus,
just got all that sin.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But I have some scriptures to back up what I'm saying also.
Okay.
Of course. I believe iniquity must be full for judgment to begin. And actually at the rapture, there will then be no one righteous. And let's look at scripture to back that up, okay?
Yeah, not for long, but there will be no...
Right, not for long.
Not for long.
But just long enough for the enemy to get the power that he needs.
That's right.
So let's first look at, which one you want? Micah 7:2?
Micah 7:2, and let me read that for you. It says, now your translation might be destroyed. There's some little controversy over the word, but it says, the godly have been destroyed from the land, or... taken from the land, there is no one upright among humankind.
Right. And if you look up the word destroyed or perished, just some Bibles say, the word is avad,
mm-hmm.
number 6 in your Strong's, and it can also mean vanish.
It can also mean vanish.
But to clarify that, it says, and there is no one upright among men.
Mm.
No one. I mean, has that ever happened before?
No, there's always been a remnant.
Uh-huh, always.
Always.
The closest you could talk about would be Noah and his family.
That's right.
And that's, of course, when God brought judgment and he removed Noah and his family off of the earth. He moved them above the earth on top of the water while the judgment was going on under the water.
Oh, that's right.
And he's going to do the same thing for us.
He's going to put us above the water.
Above the earth.
This time it's going to be fire.
Right.
And
so we have to leave.
Some of the awful things described in the Bible about the judgment of fire.
Have you read Zechariah?
Zechariah would be good. I don't know if we have time to go there.
I just want to mention real quick that Zechariah 14 says that there's going to be decaying flesh on live bones with eyes just dissolving in their sockets.
Yeah, and that is a description of what happens to a human in a atomic radiation blast.
Excuse me, but is that the comfort that Paul talks of in 1 Thessalonians 4:18? Is it a comfort to know you're going to be here with your eyes coming out of your body?
Yeah, with your eyes burning out and your tongue.
I don't think so.
Burning out of your, before you even hit the ground. No, that is not a comfort.
No, is not a comfort.
And I want to just go back real quick where we said that no one upright among humankind. You know, Elijah said the same thing. That's why he got discouraged.
Mm.
He said, there's no one left. I'm the only one.
Wow.
And remember what God told him after he revealed himself on the mountain to Elijah? He said, I still have 7,000 that have not bowed their knee to Baal. So, but this time, none.
Yeah, that's right.
This time, none.
And at the rapture, we're going to see total iniquity, total devastation, spiritual evil. On the earth until the 144,000 get saved.
Can you do Psalm 12:1?
Let's do that.
Yeah.
Psalm 12, verse 1. That's another one.
Yeah, here's one. I got it here. Okay. It says, "Help, Adonai, for no one godly is left. The faithful have vanished from humankind."
There you go. Mine even says disappeared, "for the faithful disappear from among the sons of men."
Wow.
To me, that's pretty plain.
That's pretty plain.
Okay, so here's the situation. We right now are restraining the tribulation from beginning.
Mm-hmm.
We're restraining spiritual darkness from being on the earth. Okay, so we have to leave. Now, the other thing is I have a scripture, too, in Genesis 15. Do you remember where God promised Abraham that the Amorites would be destroyed? That's where Israel's enemies.
Mm-hmm.
And they would be destroyed, but not until their iniquity was full.
Was full.
So they had to all be unrighteous and evil.
Oh, and that's what, was that why they couldn't enter the land at that, why they had to take some time in this circuitous route before they got to the land? They had to spend some time in the desert because the Amorites' iniquity had to be full.
Yeah, let's look at it in Genesis 15, 16. Let's just read that real quick.
Yeah. So there is like the fullness of the Gentiles. There's going to be a time when that comes. So this is talking about a specific time.
Mm-hmm. And then they were destroyed later.
Yes.
After their iniquity was full. But let's just read it real quick.
Yeah, there comes a time when you can only do so much disobedience to God.
Amen.
Is that what that means?
Yes.
Kind of scary.
Yeah, right.
Shouldn't scare you if you're saved, but it is kind of, you know, God is very, he's slow to anger and merciful toward us, but there comes a time when when iniquity and sin become so rampant.
Well, we're seeing some of that right now, but in verse 16 of chapter 15, he's saying that, "But in the fourth generation, they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete."
Mm-hmm.
And later on, when it was, they were destroyed.
Damn.
Okay, so that's part of it. And at the rapture, there will be no one righteous left.
Hmm.
Okay.
So there's another curse coming to the earth.
Absolutely. And thank God that's what Jesus took to the cross.
Okay.
He took that curse, that judgment that's coming on the sin of unbelief.
He drank that cup to redeem us from the judgment of sin.
He did. He did. Okay, so there's another scripture here that I want to look at. Well, the other thing is, before we do that, the remaining 7 years of Israel's last 490-year prophecy that was given to Daniel 9:24-27, that has to be fulfilled because it was interrupted with the church age after 483 years. So there's still 7 years left that God will focus back on the Jewish people to finish that prophecy when they will all get saved.
Hmm.
And we can't be here for that because we weren't here for the first 483 years because it's not our prophecy.
That's right.
It's the Jewish prophecy, Israelites' prophecy. And so we have to leave so that God will focus his attention back on Israel's salvation. And he does, and they will. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. I'd like to close today with going to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2.
Now, that's the first verse I thought we were going to read.
Oh. Well, you know.
Yeah, I was a little off today, but that's okay. Did you get there before I did?
Yes.
I think I probably have it underlined.
Yeah.
If I shouldn't already.
It's a great chapter. And again, it starts off with Paul giving the context of the chapter, okay, of this part of his letter. And he says, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him." So, John, let me ask you, what is the topic of what he's about to talk about?
I believe it's the day of the Lord, because he starts out in verse 3, for the day of the day.
Absolutely, yeah,
will
it
not
is the day
come
of the Lord.
until, you know, so he's talking about the last.
He is. But what's going to begin that? It says it right here in verse 1, the gathering together to him.
Hmm.
Okay, so that's really what he's talking about here.
Okay.
It's the rapture, which begins the day of the Lord.
Oh.
And
yes.
He says in verse 2, not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled either by a spirit or by word or by letter, as if it's from us, as though the day of Christ or the Lord had come. And remember, you had mentioned that before.
Yes.
And that's happened all through history for the last 2,000 years. There's always been those that have said, oh, no, we're already in the tribulation, or it's already come.
Right.
I heard it not too long ago, and I really heard it in 1993 when they signed the Oslo Agreement.
Hmm.
I heard people tell me, oh, that's it, we're in the tribulation now.
No.
No, sorry, we're still here.
We're still here.
Verse 3, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling or the departure comes first. And then the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Another son of perdition there, just like Judas was.
Hmm.
So, which makes me think that he might have some Jewish background. But that's a whole other game here.
Yes.
But I want to talk about that word for falling away.
Yes, I have apostasy. It says, for the day will not come until after the apostasy has come. Is that?
No, that's that not the right word. The actual word is apostasy, apostasia, excuse me, and it's number 646. And that's just a little bit different than apostasy.
Okay.
Apostasia actually means radical departure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. In fact, if you have an Amplified Bible, you know, the Amplified that, you know, gives you a little bit more information.
Right.
They have a footnote in that Bible at the bottom. It says, a possible rendering is the departure of Christians from the earth.
Hmm.
And I believe this is what it is saying, because the context is the gathering together.
Yes, it is.
Okay, because that's the whole context here. But let's go on and see verse 4. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped? Talking about this son of perdition. So that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So yeah. We all know this. But he goes on to say, do you remember that when I was with you, I told you these things? So it sounds like he was getting a little agitated because he had already told him, and yet they're saying, oh, no, we're already in the tribulation.
Yes.
And he's telling him, no. Verse 6, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. We are restraining, and we've already talked about that. For the mystery of lawlessness or Torahlessness or Biblelessness is already at work. And it was. It had begun already way back then. Only he who now restrains the Holy Spirit will do so until he is taken out of the way. Talking about the Holy Spirit that lives inside of the bride. And then, notice it says, and then, the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. That's going to be in Revelation 19.
And this is a specific order of events
He's
talking about.
Right.
There's going to be a gathering. There's going to be a revealing of this man of sin. And then there's going to be his destroying. And there you go.
That's it. And again, it's that word apostasia instead of apostasy. And the word apostasy is actually used in Timothy in chapter 4.
And there actually is apostasy.
Yes.
Yes.
It says some will depart from the faith. That is apostasy.
Yes.
Or apostemi is the actual word.
Okay.
Okay. Two different meanings, and yet people get those confused.
Well, translators get them mixed up,
Absolutely. Seems
like, too.
Yeah.
So.
Kenneth Wiest is the one that I learned from. He's a Greek scholar, and he's the one who showed me in his four-volume books of the New Testament that the word is apostasia, and it means radical departure.
And that was one of your mentors when you were getting into this years and years ago.
Through his books, yeah.
Yeah. And you had many mentors.
Like
and I know
did.
And the Bible says in the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. And it's talking about godly counselors.
Yeah, I'm so blessed, too, that he led me to the right people that I would be able to understand and be able to sit under and such a way that it was comprehensible to me.
Yes.
You know, and that is a blessing.
That is a blessing. There have been many, many great Bible scholars that never get mentioned that we should pay attention to.
Right. Well, okay, well, I think we're about at the end here. Oh, do we have a caller?
Yes.
I think I missed that. How much time do we have, Nick? Okay, let's do a real quick call. Helen, can you be brief?
I'll try very hard because I had several things. Number one, what passage was that about people disappearing? I would like to pass that along, please.
Okay.
It's Micah 7:2 and Psalm 12:1.
Micah and Psalms.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, and I want to say this real quickly. I hope I have time. I want to wish you, Sheila, and all mothers out there a very, very blessed and happy Mother's Day. Mothers sure deserve it. And another thing I want to say is, John, I said this to you before. I'll say it again. You were blessed with a wonderful voice. I'm sure other people have said you sound a lot like Johnny Cash.
Oh, yes. I take that as a compliment.
Oh,
thank you.
It was meant to be because you deserve it, and it's a fact and true.
Thank you.
I wish I could backtrack some of these shows, but as you know, I'm legally blind, and, you know, I would like to have them repeated or even to get some that I, you know,
you
didn't
bet.
Understand.
We'll work on that, miss. Helen.
But
we will. Got to go, sweetheart.
God bless you, Helen. Have a happy Mother's Day. And if you have a question for Sheila or if you would like her to speak at your church or home group, just email her at sheila@shofarministries.net. And I think we're going to go right to the Aaronic blessing here. Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha, Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom. Till next week, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, Jerusalem, shall prosper.
Not maybe. Shall.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the right-hand side of the screen, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, sheila@shofarministries.net. That's sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Saturday at 1 p.m. for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.